Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
I'm super excited to be sharing with you this morning. I'm expectant for what God's going to do. I pray that this message that I'm going to bring to today is going to encourage us. It's going to challenge us. It's been challenging me all week, so strap in. But ultimately, that it's going to lead us closer to our place with God and our relationship with God, which is the goal. That's awesome. Last week, Josiah actually shared a message, and he shared a message all about walking with Jesus. And I loved that message so much because it outlined the importance of walking with Jesus daily and the fact that our God is not a religious God, but he's a relational God. And within his message, he spoke about how we're not only meant to walk with Jesus daily, but we're also meant to walk alongside others. It says that iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And I love that because that's what church is all about. We come together as a group of people and we actually get to sharpen one another, to encourage one another, to make each other better as well. And so this morning, I am sharing a message that I have titled Holy. Yep, that's it. A little bit about me and a little bit about my story if we've never met before. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. So my family right now, currently, are not Christian yet, believing for it. And in fact, when I was a teenager, faith was a really big tension point in my home. It caused a lot of conflict. It caused a lot of fighting in my home. And becoming a Christian caused more drama than I could have imagined. So I can relate if you have that same story. But despite my home life, despite what was happening at home, as a young person, through the connection I had with my friends and my now husband, I got connected into youth and I had an encounter with God. And at 15 years old, God grabbed hold of my life and he changed everything for me. He brought me from a place of darkness into light. He brought me from a place of loneliness into purpose. And coming from an unchurched background, though, I was now thrown into this new world of faith where not only did people act differently, the church is different. People in church act differently to out there in the world, but people actually spoke differently. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but there's a whole new language that comes with being a Christian. You're giggling because you know what I mean. There were these new phrases and words and language that I honestly had no idea what they meant. I didn't know the significance of them. And if it's your first time here and maybe some of the things that you've been hearing in church or just the whole experience is a little overwhelming at first, that's okay because you're in good company. You're in good company here. And I remember I was still just the first few months into being a Christian at 15 years old. And I would hide away in my room where I could read my Bible because that's what I had to do in my family circumstance. And as I was reading the Gospels, I'd be texting Josiah as my little commentary. And I just, every line I would text him, I would be like, what does this mean? And then he'd answer. And then I'd go, what does this word mean? And he'd answer. And then I'd text this. And I remember asking him this specific question. I said, do I need to remember the whole genealogy of Jesus or can I just skip ahead? And you said, it's okay, you can skip ahead for now. Come back to it later. But there's this whole new world of phrases and of terminologies, and it's sometimes hard to grasp. And sometimes we forget as Christians that when we first become a Christian and when we first give our life to Jesus, it comes with a whole new world. And if we don't really address these new things and these new terms and these new phrases, we might actually get left behind and not actually understand it fully. So I've been praying and I've been preparing this message and this term has just been racking my brain and I cannot shake it. And so I'm going to bring it this morning. And it's a word that's not regularly used by the world. In fact, the term unholy is usually used by the world in music, in the industries out there. So today we are going to talk about the concept of holiness and what it means to be holy. And I don't know about you, but when I first hear the word holy or what it might look like to be a holy person, I often think, and this is just opening your eyes to my brain, I often think of a traditional or historical religious person, possibly in a robe, definitely no ripped jeans, no denim jacket. That's just what my brain immediately goes to. And maybe you're here and you think the term holy is maybe something old-fashioned or maybe irrelevant to this time. But what does holiness actually look like in our lives today? Because God has, in fact, called us to be holy. 1 Peter 1:14 to 16, it says, "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy." The Bible says we're called to be holy. You can't argue with me about that. It's in the Bible. God calls us to be holy. But if we don't fully understand what that means, then we can't actually live our lives as an example of that. The definition of holy is simply this. It's dedicated or consecrated to God. It's the idea of being set apart for God's purpose. I love how the team brought that this morning. You know that God's on the move when he just links everything together. That we are set apart for the purposes of God. There's a theologian, David K. Bernard, says this. God is holy. Holiness is his essential nature. With respect to him, God, it means absolute purity and moral perfection. For man, holiness means conformity to God's character. Thinking as God thinks, loving what he loves, hating what he hates, and acting as Christ would act. My Bible college roots urged me to not only look at the definition online, but to actually look theologically into what does holiness actually mean? What is the theology of holiness? I come along a lot. I have a lot of questions when it comes to holiness, like how do we become holy and at what point do we become holy? And so we're going to unpack the theology of holiness this morning. And the reason why holiness can sometimes be a little confusing to us is because there are essentially two concepts of holiness. One is our position of holiness. And two is our lifestyle of holiness. So number one, our position of holiness. This happens at the point of our salvation. The moment we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we become justified, holy, and set apart. It happens, the moment. There are scriptures you might think of when this happens. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is in the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here." As another scripture, Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God." Holiness is not a means of earning salvation, but a result of salvation. We don't live a life trying to earn the salvation of God. It is the position given to us when we lay down our old life, the old is gone, and we choose to follow Jesus because we are set apart for his purpose. Now, the second concept of holiness is the way that we live our lives, the ongoing process of looking more like Jesus. This can be called sanctification. That's a fun word that you can learn. When we are saved, God forgives our sins and we are called holy. It is our new position. But it doesn't mean that instantly our lives become perfect and we become perfect in that moment, because we're not. There is an ongoing process of looking to Jesus as our example and becoming obedient to his ways. Romans 12, 1-2, it says, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect." So how do these two concepts, these two positions of holiness, work together in our lives? Josiah gave me a really good example of this. It's a little bit like marriage, okay? One day, the day of my wedding, I made a vow and I became a wife, okay? Everyone now has to call me Josiah's wife. However, my position as a wife was just the beginning of learning how to be a wife. There are things that I choose to do every day and things I choose not to do every day because I am now a wife. And I will go throughout my life continuing on this journey and learning how to do it well. Because we are now made holy in Christ positionally, there are things now that we choose to do and things that we choose not to do because we are now followers of Jesus. Which now poses this question, and I get it all the time, why should we live a life of holiness? Why live a life of holiness when it would be so much easier to do whatever we wanted, whenever we wanted? I've heard people pose this question, well, if I just live my life however I want, and I party it up, I sleep around, I do whatever I want, and at the last moment, I give my life to Jesus, and then I'll be in heaven. And this kind of attitude creates cheap grace. It doesn't actually acknowledge an understanding of what Jesus truly did for us on the cross. And so why should we live a life of holiness? Number one, because you were bought at a price. We live a life of holiness as a response to Jesus and what he has done for us. We took communion in remembrance for what Jesus has done for us. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, whom you have received as a gift from God, that you are not your own property? You were bought with a price. You were actually purchased with the precious blood of Jesus and made his own. So then, honor and glorify God with your body." So you were bought at a price. And that price was high. It cost God his only son. Romans 5:6-8, it says, "You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely would anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." If Christ died for us, it means that we are now co-heirs with Christ. That we are actually brought near to a place of such intimacy, such relationship with God, that we are called sons and daughters. Romans 8:12-17, it says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if the spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, who we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, then we may also be glorified together." If I truly understand that I have been bought at a price and such a high price, and I truly acknowledge that Jesus died in my place to save me from my sin, then I am going to live my life differently than the rest of the world. And I think that sometimes we forget our value. And it's not about how good we think we are, but it's about how valuable God proved us to be to him. That he would give up his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So why live holy? Number one, because you were bought at a price. Number two, why live holy? Because holiness brings hope. Holiness is actually for the benefit of others. It is a reflection of Christ to others. Your life as a Christian, if you follow Jesus, should look different. And why would someone want to follow Jesus if your life looked exactly the same to theirs? Colossians 1, 21 to 23, it says, "And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in faith, grounded and steadfast, you are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which I preach from every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." You are called to be holy and to bring hope to this world. In the same way that Jesus was holy, we are called to be like Jesus. Because your life should look different. And so we need to look at what does looking different actually mean? Sometimes it's not that great. Okay, we want to make a good impression on the world. One of my favorite scriptures, 1 Peter 2:9. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may be able to proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Can I tell you, the world is dark and it needs Jesus. It is desperate for some light. And your life should be the light in the darkness. Matthew 5, 14 to 16. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." You know, holiness is most important when we find ourselves in the unholiest of places, because it is the light in the darkness. My experience with Red Frogs, the ministry of Red Frogs, is actually a perfect example of this. Red Frogs volunteers, if you don't know, they go out and they serve the schoolies group. And their goal is to protect, safeguard, and love young people that are going through a massive life change of finishing school. And with finishing school comes with all of the anxiety, the worry, the fear, the poor decisions, the dangerous decisions and consequences. And their goal as a Red Frog is to not preach the gospel, but to live the gospel. Their goal is to be a light in the darkest environments. And I remember in 2018, I was with the team. Our church took a team to Stratty Schoolies. They do a preschoolies there. And it's the same parties. The seniors go and a lot more kids actually go. And they're on the island and they kind of take over the island. And there's same house parties, same stuff going on. Drugs, alcohol, all there, but there's less emergency services on that island than there are at the Gold Coast. And so my team went in 2018 and we were there staying in a house, and our team were heading out for the night, where we go and we walk along the streets and we help any schoolies that we see, walk them home safe, look after them in whatever way we can. And I was walking out with my team. And as we were walking, we saw two schoolies come kind of past us. And so we stopped and we said, "Hey, do you need a hand?" One of the girls wasn't looking too great. And they said, no, we're fine. Thanks. All good. And they walked past us. But my team leader said, I just think we should wait a second. And so that we were there in the middle of the road, the schoolies had gone and we just waited. And 60 seconds later, one of the girls comes running back to us and says, "Hey, actually, could you come? One of my friends, she's taken something tonight and she's in a really bad way and I just don't really know what to do. Would you mind coming over and talking to her?" And we said, "Yeah, absolutely, we'll go." And so we follow the schoolie into the house where this group of schoolies are staying, and there's boys drinking and taking stuff, and there's, you know, the party's really going on, and we go to speak to this girl that's in a bad way, and she doesn't want to speak to anyone. So she's in her room locked up, And we're like, okay, well, we're not going to force anything. If she doesn't want to chat, that's fine. We'll stay around for a bit. We'll play Uno. We'll kind of keep everyone calm and just connect with these guys just so they know that we're there for them. And so we start chatting with these kids and we play Uno. I think one of us like plays guitar for them and they start asking us questions as they usually do. And it's just simply like, why are you here? What are you doing? We want to keep you guys safe. We want to make sure you guys are all good. We want to help you guys in whatever way we can. Yeah, but why? Because we're Christians and we believe in helping people. So you're a Christian. Does that mean you don't do drugs? Correct. Yes. Some of the questions that came, they were very much intoxicated. And they would ask questions again and again, just ask us about, so what church do you go to? Oh yeah, where's that? I would say Zarathas, and they're like, oh, okay. So you don't do drugs? No. You don't get drunk? No. You don't party? No. You don't sleep around? No. Why? It was so amazing that we get to like in the darkest of moments, in the darkest of places, have these conversations where they're initiating it and we're just responding with our life. We're not there preaching. So we're having this conversation with these students and a girl comes out and she's like, hey, to me, she says, hey, as you were talking and sharing, my friend, she overheard from the room that she's in that you guys like live locally and she heard that you live like in Birkdale. I was like, yeah. She's like, well, she lives in Birkdale. She was wondering if she could chat to you. And I was like, yes, got in there. And so this girl led me to this room where this girl was, which she's the reason we're there. She's the reason why we wanted to stay and care for this group of kids. And so the door opens and the place is just so dark. There are no lights on. The atmosphere is heavy. She's sitting on her bed, like crunched up, like crying. Her eyes are just blown out. She's taken something and she's just shaking in that moment. And she's just so overwhelmed. And I just sit down and introduce myself to her. And she just starts pouring out her life to me. She tells me that she used to be a Christian, that her family used to go to church, but she's really lost her way and that she's really just anxious about the future. She doesn't know what the future holds for her. She's doubting that anyone cares for her. She's in a really dark place. In fact, she was going to decide to take something to overdose that night. So she's wrestling just with her purpose in life and she felt so far from God. She didn't even understand if maybe God was even there or if he cared for her. And so I got to tell her, God must care for you because I'm here. Because he stopped my team in the middle of the street to make sure that we turned around and we came here tonight so that I could talk to you. And so in that moment, I got to share with her the gospel, not in preaching the word of God or saying anything particularly from the Bible, but I just told her about my life. I told her about who I was before Jesus. I told her about the hope that God gave me and how I was different now and how my life was different now. And I could just see the darkness starting to leave that room slowly as I shared the gospel, as I brought the light of Jesus into that place. At the end of the encounter, she had calmed down and I got to pray with her in that moment, which is pretty incredible. And when we left that house that night, after I felt that she was safe and that she wasn't going to do anything, if we hadn't stopped and waited and had the chance to share with these kids about our lives as Christians, I don't know how their lives would have ended up. I don't know how that trip for them would have ended up. If things could have ended really differently, but because we stopped and because we shared the light, they were changed by it. That was 2018. So fast forward to a few months ago, I received a message on Instagram. And this is what it said, word for word. It said, hey, Bella, I just wanted to reach out as at the beginning of the year, I gave my heart to Christ. I met you as a Red Frogs on Stratty 1 year about 6 years ago. What you did for me, and I'm sure a lot of other people, really resonated with me and gave me something to remember that Christ is with me, the Spirit is with me, and I am okay. I hope you're doing well, and I pray for blessings in your life just as you are blessing in mind. She told me afterwards that she got baptized at the start of this year. How cool is that? 6 years ago. Your life is a testimony. The way that you live as a follower of Jesus should bring light to the darkest of places. And you do not have to look far to find somewhere that needs hope, somewhere that needs Jesus. I know for me, it is the school that I work in. It is my local cafe where I get my coffee. It is my family. It's not about us. It's not about how good we are. It's not about all the deeds and tasks we do to try and be perfect. It's about the light that Jesus shines through our lives, the hope that Jesus gives us so that we can bring that hope to the world. Holiness, a life devoted to God, brings hope to the world around us. And so how does it look to live a life of holiness? How can we do this? Last week, Josiah spoke about walking with Jesus. And to live a life of holiness is to live in Jesus and by the example of Jesus. John 15:5, it says, I am the vine. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. To live a life of holiness is to live a life in Jesus. Not because we don't make mistakes. I make them every day. Not because we're pretending to be perfect. I certainly am not. But because holiness is holding on to Jesus. Jesus gives us our position of holiness when we choose to follow him. But he also gives us the strength to live a lifestyle of holiness. And at the end of the day, it is all about connection to Jesus. It is always through the connection of Jesus that we can live a holy life and that we can be called holy, only through Jesus. Philippians 2:13, it says, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. It is in his strength, not our own. It is because of what Jesus did on the cross that we can be called holy. We looked at the definition of holiness as being dedicated, consecrated to God, set apart. The Bible does not say that holiness is being a pastor. The Bible does not say that holiness is being a worship leader. The example of holiness that we have is Christ. So as a parent, how are you living like Christ as an example to your kids? How are you living as Christ to your spouse? Business owner, how are you living like Christ as an example to your employees, to your customers, to your clients, to other business owners? How are you an example of Christ in that environment? If you're a church leader, a youth leader, a connect group leader, how are you living like Christ to those that you lead? Students, how do you treat your friends? Do you treat them like Christ would? How do you treat the rest of your grade, those that you don't talk to your teachers, to your parents? Employees, how do you talk about your boss? Is it a reflection of Christ? And how do you treat your co-workers? Are you giving them an example of the gospel in the way that you live every single day? I've thought about this, the idea of you might be the only Bible that somebody reads in their life. You might be the only chance of reading the gospel that someone might experience. Do we live that way? The example is always Christ. Always Jesus. In Him. And only through Him. Do we have the position of holiness and live a life holy? In an unholy world that seeks self-gratification, we are called to be different. We are called to be holy because it is our position in Christ, and it is because our lifestyle brings hope to this world. Come on, why don't we pray? You know, you might be in this place today, and this message has just been a reminder to you that you are holy because you were bought at a price. And maybe today was a reminder that the life that you live is a holy example that the world needs, and maybe something needs to shift. In a place of hopelessness, you might need to be the light, because holiness brings hope. Maybe you're here today and you thought holiness was all about trying to live your life by doing the right thing, and you didn't realize that holiness begins by just saying yes to Jesus. No matter how you feel, no matter how hard you try to make the right choices, without Jesus, none of us can be holy. The Bible says that when you give your life to Jesus, He makes you a new creation. It says the old life is gone, the new has come. And maybe you're in this place and you need that clean slate. You need to be made right with God. You want that new life, a holy life, a life dedicated to God, set apart, devoted for a wonderful purpose. And if that's you in this place, I would love to pray for you. And so if you're in this room and you know that that's you this morning, that you've never actually made that decision to follow Jesus, you've never actually had that call in your life, with everybody's eyes closed and head bowed, on the count of three, I'd love for you to just quickly raise your hand. I'll acknowledge it and you can pop it down. I just want to know who I'm praying for. If that's you and you'd like to make that decision this morning to follow Jesus, to be a new creation, to live a holy life, if that's you, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three, if that's you. From the left to the right, if that's you. That's awesome, awesome. Well, God, I thank you so much that you've called us to be holy. And I thank you, God, that it is only in you and through you, God, that we can live our lives as an example of you, Christ. So, God, I pray for us, God, that you would challenge us in areas that we need to maybe step up in our lifestyle of holiness, God. But I thank you, Jesus, that you would lead us in how to do that every single day, that we hold firm to you, God. And I pray that as we go out into this world, into the unholy places, into the darkness, God, that you would help us to be the light to our co-workers, to our friends, Lord, to our families this week, God. I thank you, Lord, that you would give us a boldness to step up and step out to be called holy, Lord. Like never before, God, that we would be examples of Christ. We would be the gospel wherever we go, Lord. Would you give us this boldness? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.